Grace and peace to the household of faith. Thank God for everyone here, even those that may be on their way. Thank God for Lord Lau and Pastor and others that were made out last week. So Charlene, to come back and be with us and bless those that are even away this weekend. Amen? And I, hopefully with the help of the Lord, that the things that Pastor read in the pastor's bulletin and our position in Christ, hopefully that resonates with your spirit. Spirit to spirit. Holy Spirit is a teacher. To know that we are commanded to think outside the box to the heavens in Christ and our position in Christ. You know, as I was studying this week in this lesson, it's amazed me about Paul's writings. I mean, all through the writings, you know, it's like grace and peace. It starts out of the epistles. Grace and peace. In other words, he tells the saints, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, who they are in Christ. The focus, saints, is what God's done for you. I mean, he doesn't start out talking about the marriage or the kids or jobs, and that's included because, you know, in the time capsule, those things are what? Here that we have to deal with. But right from the, you know, down south, right from the gate, he goes out, focuses in on who we are, what God has done for us. In other words, what he calls, he gives you the facts, the indicative. The indicative facts, who you are, you're justified, you're sanctified, you're chosen, you're the love of God dwells in your heart. He gives you the what? The facts, the indicative. And then, toward the middle of the epistle, he gives you what's the imperative. In other words, now that you have this knowledge, now give, these are some directions that you can go in based on the knowledge that I give you in terms of who you are in Christ. But now you just don't start out the gate beating people over the head, telling them that you know, in fact, you go on the law. You go in the whole essence of the law. It starts out, you have sinned against the Holy One of Israel. Now, do you want to abide in that system where, you know, I mean, God, it starts out beating you over the head. And you wonder why a lot of churches now, saints get beat over the head. Because when you abide and do the right and Leviticus, all those that are right, thank God it's the word of God. But when you abide in that system, it's all about don't. And somebody said, it's the law, either you keep or you're dead. And then people say, wait a minute. The condition of the law, you do it. Do the law or you're dead. That's it. But somebody say, why did God give something that God knew they couldn't keep? See, that's where you have to what? Do some more studying. In other words, God knew that the condition of the law was either you do it or you're dead. But the intent or the purpose of the law, the testimony of the law, was that nobody could keep it.
That's right.
But thank God we are in Christ. Let everybody pray. Yes. Father God, in Jesus' name,
yes.
Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your kindness, and your love. We thank you, Father, for the glorious gospel of the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for our contract. Father, we thank you for the eternal blessings that you've given to us as members in your glorious body, the body of Christ. Father, we thank you that we are chosen before you, before the foundation of the world. We thank you for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Spirit, who's able to lead and guide us to all truth. We thank you for your goodness. Bless this church, Father. Bless all those that are here. We ask that you energize the word of God, Father. Oh God, let everything said today, let it magnify Christ, let it point to Christ. In every iota of the move of God, let Christ be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Now that, you know, we start out focusing in on who you are in Christ, what God's done for you, as members in the body of Christ, you're so blessed. Based on this, now let's go to some directions. In other words, now that you know that you are blessed, and you are blessed before the foundation of the world. You are chosen, adopted, all these wonderful blessings. Now, what's the procedure of, with the help of the Lord, realizing and the insight of these blessings? Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy, please. Very familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. Let's do this. We have time. Let's go to King James, because most people have the King James. For those that have the interlingual, we can go both ways in the King James first. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. Amen? Chapter 15. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Indeed, we'll read the King James first, and then we'll go right into the interlingual Greek. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. Amen? What? Because we have to understand some historical facts here in terms of Paul's letter to Timothy, and we'll discuss that later, but we'll go right into the scripture first and understand what the Spirit is, the thought conveyance in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You ready, D? Okay.
2 Timothy chapter 2, the 15th verse, King James Version. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
They go ahead and read 16. Read 16 through 18.
But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Okay.
And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some.
Go 19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Let's go right into the interlinear Greek here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, but we're going to focus on verse 15, Paul's letter to Timothy, and the interlinear Greek. Let's read that, D, okay?
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, interlinear Greek text. Be eager thyself approved to present to God a workman unashamed, Cutting straight. The word of truth.
Cutting straight the word of truth. Now, cutting straight the word of truth. Paul tells Timothy, the letter to Timothy is that you have to, now the King James said rightly dividing, but in the Greek word rightly divide in the Greek, it actually literally means cutting straight. Cutting straight. Take that, you know, we all been there. You got a pair of scissors, and you got a piece of paper, and when you cut that straight, you are actually dividing the components into what? Let's say two categories. Now we know in the workings of God, there are really seven messages in the Bible, seven dispensations. Each one has a different message. Each one is a guided by covenants. But now we're going to focus on the two major messages today in God's word, which is the kingdom gospel and the grace gospel. Because Paul tells Timothy, you have to rightly cut it straight. You have to cut straight the word of God. Now somebody said, well, but that's Paul's letter to Timothy, you know, and all that. Well, let's take it further. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. See, we need to see that this is the workings of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. By the way, the aorist, the word to show, that's an aorist infinitive, verb and noun. That's an aorist infinitive. An infinitive is a verb and noun. In other words, rightly divide the word, cut it straight. Now, what's the correlation between this and 1 Corinthians? Go to the deep. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. Yeah, we can do both, King James and the Greek.
1 Corinthians 14, 37, King James Version. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual.
If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, you know, that's, we see this all over the place. You know, you go to churches, they give out these business cards. It's now, years ago, everybody wanted to be a bishop. Now it's like, you know, everybody want to be an apostle or a prophet or a doctor. I saw one some time ago, a bishop, prophet, doctor. He wanted to include all of them. Everybody want to be spiritual. But let's move on deep.
If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Paul said, the things that I write unto you, these things did not come out of Paul. These are the commandments of the Lord. Now, let's go right into the interlinear.
All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, 37, interlinear Greek text. If anyone thinks a prophet to be, or a spiritual man, let him clearly know the things which I write to you, that of the Lord they are commanded.
The things I write unto you. A person has to be either blind or deaf not to see what God, what the Lord is saying here. Paul is saying the things that I write unto you did not come out of me. In other words, it originated from the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the originator of all truth. Paul was just a message boy. But he said unto you, the things I write unto you, these are the commandments of the Lord. What things did Paul write? Paul wrote the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. Everything from Hebrews, I'm sorry, from Romans to Hebrews. These are the things that God commanded him to write. The mystery, that information that was hidden by all ages. It was the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was commanded to write the mystery.
Right.
In fact, we can take it one step further. Everything in the Bible. Now, that's, you know, the Bible, thank God. There's a lot of corroboration. There's some corroboration in our gospel to other writings. One corroboration is right here. God, all of the prophets, all of the writers, Moses, Daniel, David, they didn't write those books out of themselves. They were commanded as the Spirit guided them to write. That's why these Bibles, the Word of God did not originate from man. It's God's Word, God's direction. Now, because God said, Paul said, I am the words that I write. These are the commandments of the Lord. And one of these commandments is that you must divide the Word of God. And the way to divide the Word of God, you have to, we can focus on two writings today. You must separate the kingdom gospel from the grace gospel.
Yes, sir.
If you look at them as one writing, you are in a lot of trouble. Because these writings, thank God, a lot of corroboration. But these writings will clash because what God said for one, he was talking to the audience, which is, you go to Matthew, the moment you hear Matthew, you should know that he's talking to the Commonwealth of Israel. When you go to Luke, you should know he's talking to the Commonwealth of Israel. When you go to Colossians, you should know, body of Christ. Romans, body of Christ. Philippians, body of Christ. And those books will have different, it's a different conveyance of information. And the biggest mistake that most people make, you go to Matthew and Mark and Luke for doctrine. You don't go there for doctrine. Go there for information. Because if you go there for doctrine, at one point, you will be confused.
Amen.
And Pastor just read today in the pastor's pen, peace that passes all understanding, the peace of God. Well, that peace is directly proportional to you dividing this word. You cannot take this as one book.
That's right.
You cannot read the Bible like you would go and read Charles Dickens. Amen. You cannot read it. It ain't going to work. You go to, I was at Borders the other day. You know, they have these books. And think of, you know, it's so good to read. Just don't let that reading get ahead of this.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, they had introduction. They had the book, the title. And most people take that, read it from, let's say a book has 250 pages. They read it from there to there. One volume of information, and they take that and try to read this. You can mess up because the Bible has 66 books, and each of those books has different information. But our gospel, and it's amazing, if you're looking at consistency, you can take Romans and Hebrews, read those 14 epistles, consistent all the way, consistent messages. You go to what? Those kingdom gospels? Consistent. Now, it ain't no way you can go to Matthew and not teach water baptism. It ain't no way. It ain't no way you can go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke and not teach tongues. And not teach what? Salvation by works. And you're talking about a big problem. You try to reconcile James, the book of James, with Paul writes, you'll be totally confused. You know, I give James credit. I mean, he starts out telling you that the book of James, he said, this book is, the first part there is written to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you try to go there, and James talks about, yeah, faith without works is dead. I'm sorry, no, he said faith plus works. is salvation. That's that kingdom message. And then Paul says what? We are saved apart from work. It's all about what God's done for us. Those books will clash every time. And people that do not believe in what? Dividing the Bible according to dispensation covenants, they'll come up with a whole lot of stuff trying to reconcile those books. But they are consistent if you divide, if you keep what James said, keep that kingdom, and what Paul said, grace. Let kingdom be kingdom, let grace be grace. Now, why is it important to divide these messages? Let's go to Galatians. Amen. Let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter very familiar. Galatians chapter 1, D, let's read 6 through 10. Yes, 6 through 10.
Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
That's my marvel. That's Paul talking. The Spirit of God through Paul. He's marveled. What's happening here? They had the gospel of grace preached. The liberty, you know, our gospel is a liberating gospel. It liberates you from a lot of confusion, heartache, suffering. It liberates you in thinking. It gives you, you want to have clear focus in your thinking? Stay in your gospel. You want to have confused thinking and not knowing one day whether or not you're saved, one day you're saved, next day you're lost, you go there and abide in what? Those other writings. And put your condition. You do this, God do that. And our gospel is what? No conditions. You're saved, that's it. Saved before the foundation of the world. No conditions. Just saved, just saved. Now, would you rather abide in that system or one of these other systems? Come on, Deep, let's read it. Let's keep reading.
Verse 7, King James Version.
Yes.
Which is not another.
It's not another for you.
But there be some that trouble you.
There be some that trouble, okay?
And would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel
unto
you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Say it again, D. Keep reading.
As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Let him be accursed. Now, notice, keep this going. We're going to connect this to, in other words, Paul said, any other gospel, they were troubled. You know what? These people that they had received the glorious liberty of the gospel that the Spirit of God gave you, Paul, that they were saved before the foundation of the world, that they were always saved, belonged to God, saved, sanctified, justified, all this good news, and there were Jewish Christians that came in and said, yeah, you saved, but you now you must, to really be saved, you must keep the law of Moses.
Right.
And it troubled them. And Paul came in steaming mad. Paul came in, we can see this over in chapter 2, because number one, they came in and said, wait, no, you must do this. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new. That today, you know, you have this glorious gospel of Christ,
right.
And then some say, well, have you been baptized?
Right.
Have you done this? Have you done that? They want to, when you add anything to the finished work of Christ, you have destroyed grace. Because grace is no worse. For by grace are we saved through the faithfulness of Christ. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of baptism, not of tongues, not of nothing, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if you put works there, I guarantee you, if it's a person depraved nature, he wants to boast. Oh, you know, I got the whole, you know, I can speak in tongues. You can't speak in tongues, so I must be special. No, you're just depraved as they are. It's just that, what? It's just that when you add works to the workings of God, works equals what? Boasting. And we have nothing. Our boasting is in Christ. Now, Dean, let's move on. Go to Galatians 2. Now, while Dean is going there, our religions, the first years ago when you read the scriptures, Paul states that I marvel that you are soon to turn away from what the things I preach you to another gospel. I've heard preachers sometimes go, yeah, you know, they were another gospel, like Sung Yung Moon or Buddha or, you know, that's another gospel. In other words, he don't want you to preach nothing but the gospel of Christ. Paul, let's go deeper. Paul was not referring. He was referring to what was going on historically at that time. And what was going on historically is explained in chapter 2. He starts out in chapter 1 dealing with what? The Galatians were troubled because there were what? They heard another gospel. And Paul had to clear this up in chapter 2. Let's go there deep. What was happening in chapter 2 here? 14 years, you got it?
Yes.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also.
Okay. Why did Paul go to Jerusalem? Let's move on. Keep reading, huh?
And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached.
He communicated to them. Who's them? Who's the them? That gospel. We know that gospel is the gospel of the mystery. He communicated to who? Keep going, D.
I communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain.
Mm-hmm.
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus.
Wait a minute, false brethren. Who were these false brethren? False brethren. Notice, he called them brethren. That means they had a testimony that they were. They belonged to Christ. But he said they were false brethren. Why were they false brethren? Keep going, D.
Privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage.
Uh-huh.
To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
The truth of it, keep going, D. Uh-huh.
But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person.
Wait a minute. In other words, these guys, it's like today, the bishops and all these big titles. Paul said, hey, these big guys, you don't mean nothing to me. In other words, Paul was secure in the gospel. He heard something that nobody, God gave him something that it was unheard of in prior generations. It was unheard of that Jew and Gentile was one in the body of Christ. It was unheard of that you were saved before the foundation of the world. It was unheard of that you were saved before you were born. He preached things that nobody ever preached. So he said, whatever you, these titles you call yourself, the bishops, the priests, whatever you call them, it doesn't mean anything to me because I heard it from God. In other words, I heard things from God that you all guys never heard, and you won't be Jesus.
Come on, man.
Paul, God showed Paul things that he, Peter, James, and John, they ate with him. But God showed Paul some things that he never showed the others. Keep going, D. Mystery, grace, and truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me.
Nothing to me.
But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed
unto me.
Let's start right here.
We got to say this. There are people that will argue you to the teeth. They'll tell you, no, Liverman, Pacala, Gavin, all this, what are you talking about? It ain't even one gospel. Mm-hmm. They will argue you to the, it ain't but one gospel. They'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. But see, do you want religion or truth? These religious systems are designed to keep people in bondage. But we have the gospel, the grace of God is a liberating gospel. And anything that's not liberating you is bondage. Our gospel liberates you from confusion, from heartache, from stress, from everything. Now, sure, problems out there, absolutely. But you can. can look at and deal with these problems in a vertical plane to know that these problems are decreed by God, and no matter what comes down, we all triumph in Christ. Now, then for those that say more, that's one God, please read verse 7 and read it in the interlinear, please.
Mm-hmm. Now, Galatians 2, verse 7 from the interlinear Greek text. But on the contrary.
Do me a favor. Read the King James. Read the King James first for verse 7.
King James, Galatians 2, verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me.
The gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto Paul, me. The gospel to the Gentiles was committed to Paul. It was given by God to Paul to go to teach and preach this to the Gentiles. Keep going.
As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
Was unto Peter. The gospel to the Jews was to Peter. The gospel to the what? Gentiles was to Paul. The gospel to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcision, that was preached by Paul. The gospel of the kingdom to the commonwealth of Israel was preached by Peter. And take it others. Take it one step further. What Paul, Timothy, and Titus preached was different than what Peter, James, and John preached. Because if it was all the same, why did they have that big meeting up there in the Jerusalem Council? If the conference, why? If they were all preaching the same thing, why do you need a conference? They need a conference because there were two major messages out there floating around. And they had to reconcile this thing because Paul said, you are saved by grace only. And they're saying, no, you're saved by water baptism. Now, somebody say, is it true? Both of them are true. But see, that kingdom message is true in the kingdom what? Dispensation. The grace message is true in the grace dispensation. It's all the word of God, but you have to divide these gospels.
Yes. Yes.
Now, read verse 7 in the interlinear.
Galatians 2, verse 7, interlinear Greek text. But on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision, mm-hmm, as Peter, that of the circumcision.
Have mercy. Now, you see that word was committed. We had in the, if, I think most of y'all, some of you may have the word was committed. If you have a little TFIT in front of that, that was committed. That's what we call a perfect indicative passive. It's a perfect tense. We know perfect tense. It represents an action that was completed in the past but has continued results. Was committed. It's a fact. It's a fact that this gospel was committed, and it was a passive, meaning that Paul had nothing to do with it. It was committed to Paul by God, and it was a fact. It's in the perfect tense. Was committed, is committed now because it was. It is because it was. Ongoing. Why was it committed to Paul? Because it was. In fact, where was it? Before they found in eternity.
Yes, sir.
This gospel. He had nothing. This gospel was given to Paul by decree.
Yes.
And he couldn't get away from it. No matter how many Christians he killed. No matter how much he was, even though he consented at Stephen's death.
Right.
And read the whole account of Stephen. Stephen preached the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, somebody say, Stephen, what else? I mean, other than the law. In fact, Stephen preached kingdom law. You know, Stephen did not preach grace, because understand, historically, a lot of things can clear up if you just look at the historical component. Threefold method of Bible conveyance, exegesis. Look at the historical. Then you go to the grammar. And then go to contest. You know what? If you line those three, run with it. Go with the light. If anything don't line up, in fact, so historically here, in fact, you know, all the confusion that's in a lot of churches, if they just look at the historical component, it'll clear up a lot of things. Because I came out of a place where everything that was about in Acts chapter 2. But everything, the whole direction of the church was Acts chapter 2. For they were, Acts 2:38, was repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, is that true? Yes, that was true. It still is. But understand, where are you in history? You are pre-mystery. So that is the information that God gave at that time. You're not going to get no more than what's in that covenant. And so when Peter said that, you were in kingdom. You were in the kingdom. So when you preach the kingdom, you got to preach water baptism. But now you have to move on. That's the whole message of Hebrews. Move on. Let's move on from law. Move on from kingdom and move to grace. The whole focus of the Hebrews that Paul wrote to the Hebrew Christians was, listen guys, you are stuck in the law. Move from the law to kingdom. Move from the kingdom to grace. Move on. Move on to perfection. And the only way you can be perfected is abiding your contract. Stay in your gospel. Now, it's a fact. Now, another thing about these messages, you have to understand. You have to divide these messages because they have a different purpose. All the word of God, but you have to understand the audience. Who is God talking to? For example, what about the earth? God's eternal purpose concerning the earth, and Jesus Christ's millennium and everlasting reign upon it, that is the subject of prophecy, which has been placed on hold, and is the future gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom message has been placed on hold because it will not be implemented until the Commonwealth of Israel accept their Messiah. Thank you. You know, people amaze me. They look at you and go, see, historically, it clears up a lot of things. Yeah. Historically, yes, thank God, Peter, James, and John, Bartholomew, and many others, they walked with Jesus, they slept with Jesus, they ate with Jesus, but from a historical basis, the Commonwealth of Israel rejected Jesus. So that kingdom gospel could not be implemented because it is based upon them receiving Jesus. And that is the purpose of the whole book of Revelation, is to bring Israel back to God. It's not for you to be scared, scared, scared. Why should you be scared when you already be there?
Come on, preacher.
We've been taught to stay away from that book. No, I can read it. See, I can read now with knowledge and understanding to know, yes, I can see the mark of the beast and know that I don't have to be scared because I am not going to take the mark because I was not called to take the mark because God marked me with his blood before the foundation of the world. And most Christians abide in fear, confusion, because they don't separate Paul's writings. This gospel is a liberating gospel. You want to be liberated? Stay in your gospel. You want to be confused? Abandon those other writings. And I repeat, we're not saying don't read Psalms or Proverbs or Deuteronomy or Leviticus, but read them with the knowledge that you have in your contract. Now you can read it with knowledge and understanding. And you won't be confused. And thank God, a lot of things David said corroborates our gospel. But a lot of things can bump heads, saints. You won't be scared. One scripture, are you scaring me? Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And I go out there having bad days. Come home one day and the kids aren't crazy. My boss is the mother of the job, pastor. And then going to Port Huron, boy on the side of the road, one guy come up there, a prophet, you know, false prophet. So, man, some of y'all have no bad with you. Maybe you ain't saved. And I said, you know what? Maybe the Lord can retain spirit from me. And I'm pulling on the side of the road like a fool. I said, Lord, please pray that. Don't take the Spirit of God from me. I just read that scripture, but I was reading that for direction. And I was confused. That's going to bump heads with what Paul writes when he says that you were sealed until the day of always sealed. When God seals you, you are sealed. And that's going to bump heads with taking out your spirit from me. And see, if David had known what we know in our contract, If David know, they would have known about the decree, David. God ain't going to take nothing from you because you were chosen before the foundation of the world. But David did not have this information because it's, the information that David had was limited to the Mosaic covenant. The worst mistake you can make, you try to understand justification and try to go through Leviticus and understand justification. You can be confused. Because you ain't gonna get no, you ain't gonna get the only information, the only light you gonna get is what's in that covenant.
Amen. Amen.
Let's move on. So, God's eternal purpose, it is identified in the Synoptic Gospels, as introduced by John the Baptist, preached by Jesus and his disciples, and offered to Israel by Peter and the other kingdom apostles on the day of Pentecost, as documented in the early chapters of the book of Acts. That is what Pentecost was all about, is to give, if notice, by the God's decree. And by the way, somebody said, see, people that don't know the workings of God, they say, oh, I'm so glad that they, if they had accepted Christ, then we would have been all locked out past the East. I heard all the crazy stuff. No, they had no other choice but to reject Jesus. Because God had a plan by decree. They were called to reject him. So if it went down the way it was decreed, what happened at the day of Pentecost, you in manifestation mode. The manifestation must follow the actualization. They rejected Christ. Those that God called to reject Christ. Have mercy. Because God had actualized that thing in eternity. And you know one liberating thing about our gospel? I assumed years ago, I said, well, those people that rejected the kingdom, they all went to hell. Well, listen, you know what? You can't. They were, you know what somebody said, but they made a mistake. Who hasn't made a mistake? That just because they didn't have the light of Jesus, look at the people today that they're saved in terms that they don't have the light in time that you have, but you can't say they're not saved. Because if God put a barometer, if God put a measurement of knowledge on this thing, who would make it? In fact, most Christians would be out. But thank God he doesn't put knowledge. But thank God he's blessed you. He's given you this insight and this knowledge to understand it, to know that you don't have to go through your life being confused.
Amen.
Now, so the root of the kingdom message gospel is found in the prophetic covenants, the Palestinian, the Davidic, and the New, and the Old, which was prophesied or proclaimed by the prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and many others. Again, we know that this gospel, notice, was rejected by Israel, and is presently placed on hold, and thus should not be preached as though its principles are implemented in this age of grace. In other words, most preaching today, today is Sunday, by this time most of the preachers are up. In fact, some of them are probably sitting down now. They are preaching out of what? Matthew? Out of Mark? Out of Luke? They are preaching from writings for the workers of God have that dispensation on hold. Which means that they are preaching things that you just can't implement today in today's present evil age. Because if you try to what? Do what Jesus said in his present evil age in those writings, you won't be able to make it there. You're confused. Because what Jesus said in that day, in other words, somebody said, didn't Jesus heal the sick? Absolutely. What goes with that kingdom message? Healing the sick? Raising the dead? Right? Having your knees met? That's all part of the message. In other words, Jesus, he said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, Jesus said to his commonwealth of Israel, this is how the kingdom of God operates. And if you really look at history, their thinking was that, this kingdom is about to be set up right now. But see, God had a secret. God had a secret. And that secret was God was bringing in a whole new dispensation. It's amazing that God, right now, at this time, from the time that Jesus died to where we are now, it was 2,000 years. God had a whole dispensation, a whole purpose. Everything but that God does is by purpose and design. But you need to know, you need to separate these gospels. What about our gospel? God's eternal purpose concerning the heavens and our glorified body that abode in Him, in Christ, is the subject of the mystery, which is the present gospel for the dispensation of grace as documented in the 14 epistles written by Paul, Romans through Hebrews. The apostle identifies this message as the gospel of the grace of God. My gospel. Now, the root of this grace message is traceable to the eternal body of Christ, which was kept secret by God and unknown to it until God made it known by the revelation to Paul. The dispensation of this grace message was other epistles which are in alignment with his writings. The grace dispensation was committed to Paul. The gospel of grace is distinguished, is different, is that it is offered to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. You remember, I said, this gospel is different. The gospel of the kingdom was offered, that's Israel's gospel. That's their gospel. The gospel of the grace of God is Jew and Gentile, all one in the body of Christ. And so if you really look at our gospel, today, in this contract, our God, the grace contract, there's no what? Jew, no Gentile, no male, female, no what? Bond free, all one in Christ. You don't get this information in the other contract, because in the other contract, there was a distinguishable difference in nationality. Now you will read it with understanding. You won't go to those gospels and you'll see when a girl came to Jesus, her daughter was ill, and Jesus said, "I'm not sent to you." In other words, I'm sent to Israel. And she said, "Yes, Lord, but the dog eat the crumbs." In other words, but somebody said, the Lord healed her. Well, understand now. God did not heal this Gentile woman because he had a covenant with her. He did it because it was his decree. See? God did not save. Now somebody said, were Gentiles saved in Jesus' day? Absolutely. But they were not saved because they had a contract with God. The few that were saved by God's decree. And God's decree is God's decree. God saves who he wants to save. He's sovereign. He does what he wants to do, when and how. God is sovereign, okay? So what? So the true minister of God, led by the Spirit, we acknowledge that Paul's gospel, the mystery, is the commandment of God for this dispensation. We are instructed not to preach any other gospel. Somebody say, "Y'all, that's too narrow-minded." Why? It's not narrow. Listen, Paul, it's read. Paul said, "The things that I say unto you, or the things that I write unto you, these are the commandments of the Lord." God, the Spirit of God knows, by the Spirit of God, when you abide in those other covenants, that for direction, at some point you are going to be confused. I said last week, but since a lot, I repeat this. Some time ago, someone that we knew, sister was ill. And the person went over there, Matthew. No, the girl went to one of these faith healing meetings. And one of these healing prophets gave her the scripture. I'm going to give the scripture he gave. So, see, somebody said, I want to do what Jesus said. I want to do what Jesus said do. And here's a scripture that he gave this girl to give to her sister who was dying, I think, of cancer. Go to Matthew. Let's go here. Let's look at this because we want to see something here. Let's go to, I believe it's Matthew. Was that Mark? Yeah. Mark chapter, please, yes. Mark chapter 16. Read that, please. Very familiar scripture. Now, first of all, let me say this. The fact that we're saying we're just going to corroborate something to bring this together. The fact that we are going to what? Is it Mark? Mark, yes. You should know right now that you're going to go here for information. You're not going to go here for direction. But let's see what happens in this situation when this person read the scripture and they went there for direction. Read that, please. Go ye, that's please. Yes, that's right.
Uh-huh. We're reading from the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 15.
And I believe most of y'all have this in red, which means that we know this is Jesus. And somebody said, I'm going to do everything Jesus said do. Okay, read that, please.
Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Preach the gospel to every creature, uh-huh.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Shall be saved.
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
Keep going.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Keep going deep.
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Somebody said, oh, Jesus said that. Oh, they'll lay hands on the sick. So this person got into the line, and the preacher said, out of ignorance and acknowledge whatever, he said, sister, do you see this scripture? You lay hands on the sick, and your sister will recover. She was so excited. She got on a plane, got a ticket, went to Chicago, and she said, she told her sister, according to what's written in Matthew, I lay hands on you, and you shall recover. She was so excited, came back, told her whole family that our sister gonna be, she's gonna be healed. I think in a month later, she was dead. It's the girl had a nervous breakdown. Because went there, what Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Did Jesus mean that? Yes, but it's not applicable. Let me say, no, you cannot just pray that everybody's going to be healed in this present age of grace. Because everybody ain't going to be healed. And the thing about it, but you know what? When somebody does have an infirmity, hey, if the Lord purpose that I get sick tomorrow, y'all pray that I be healed, please. But I'm going to add this to that. It's your will, Lord, according to your will. According to your will. But she took the scripture for direction. And had a nervous breakdown because her sister died. But somebody saying, well, wasn't that her sister? Wasn't that decree? Absolutely. But you know, that was decree, but God does everything for thy purpose and design. God did for testimony's sake that you just cannot divide, you cannot take a scripture and run with it and make direction for your life. Because somewhere along the line, a whole lot of things Jesus said. Jesus said a lot. And somebody said, y'all keep saying divide the Bible. You better divide this Bible. You better divide this Bible according to what? Dispensations and covenants. We got about 10 minutes. Let's bear with me one more. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Something else Jesus said. Let's look at this. Jesus said a whole lot. But understand, you know it's amazing. When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke especially, those are synoptic gospels, do this in your mind. Put your mind in an environment where it's a perfect age. Where God's promise to Abraham, the new Jerusalem coming down to the earth, that thousand year what? Millennial reign of Christ. Everything, God, Jesus is ruling from Jerusalem. All iniquity is going to be what? In check. And by the way, I didn't say that all iniquity is going to be eliminated. Because, see, some people think that that's going to be the perfect age, that thousand years. Well, you know what? Somebody said, you mean to tell me there's still going to be some depravity? Absolutely. If Jesus is going to rule, he's got to rule. I mean, just the fact he's ruling. But that he's going to hold that depravity in check. It's going to be ruled with righteousness. In other words, it's amazing. Thank God that thousand years is going to be peaceful. It's going to be glorious. But don't think that there's still going to be, won't be any depravity. Because for those of you like you came to the last workshop, the seminar, we had a whole seminar on the time capsule. Well, just, what's synonymous with the time capsule? Depravity. Well, the thousand years, that designates time. You're still in time. So by just being in time, that tells you that you still, but Jesus is going to be ruling with a rod of iron. But let's look at this. Matthew 5:5. go with both. You got just one scripture. Go with King James and the Greek here. Matthew 5:5.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, King James Version. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Understand, when you read in Matthew, this should tell you that this is not your gospel. The meek shall inherit the earth. The commonwealth, whenever you're talking about the earth, you're dealing with Israel. Now, this is going to clash with one of our, with our gospel. It's going to bump heads. First of all, understand, the meek shall inherit the earth. Wonderful! They're going to inherit everything. They're going to inherit the earth. With the 1,000 years, and then after that, the glorious eternal earth. It's going to be a glorious, glorious, glorious. They shall inherit the earth. But you know, that's not, how can that be for you when at this time, the mystery was not even revealed? Somebody, as glorious as that is, church, God has done something more for you. Let's go there. Now this is gonna bump heads. The meek shall inherit the earth. In other words, Israel's blessings is confined and limited to the earth. What about our blessing? Go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Notice, do you read that in the interlinear Matthew 5, 5? Okay, great. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Let's go right to the interlinear.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God to the saints, being in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus.
Faithful in Christ, okay.
Grace to you
and
peace from God, Father of us, and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us.
Having blessed us, notice, Israel's blessings. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's their blessings. Their blessings are limited to the confines of the earth. What about our blessings in Christ? Keep going deep.
The one having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenly.
In the heavenly.
In Christ.
In Christ. Where's your abode? Your abode, your blessings is in Christ. And in Christ, there is no limit because Christ is no limit. And you are in his body. He's the head, you're the body. Israel's blessings are limited. Our blessings are unlimited. You know, we had an account where if you compare the earth with what? The earth is just a small planet compared to, well, even the nine planets, it's just small compared to what? Jupiter. But at a certain, you go out there and beyond the Milky Way, the earth actually disappears in terms of relative size. But that's still the limit to Israel's blessings. Now, we're not minimizing their blessings. Wonderful. But we are in Christ. There's no limit. There's no limit to being in Christ. You are his body. You are a member of his glorious body. He's the head. No limit. Israel is limited. The body of Christ unlimited. Now, he said that most people's preachers, leaders, they abide in parts of the Bible where you have limited information and limited blessings. Well, my whole thing, whatever the Lord has me, I want all. I don't take nothing away. Now, we're going to close on this one point. Because you can only get this freedom and release based on information. Now, for those, I'm going to close out on this. Got 5 minutes. I'm going to close out on this because this is so powerful. That what Pastor read in the pastor's pen, for those that have it, if you go back to the pastor's pen here, the last two sentences, it says, you know, we talk about our gospel. Our gospel is a liberating gospel. It brings you peace in every situation because you are dwelling in knowledge. Now, it says here, peace through knowledge is exceedingly the opposite of fear and doubt derived from ignorance. Numerous of Paul's pleading state, brethren, I do not want you to be what? Ignorant, without knowledge. Without mature knowledge. Hence, it is scripturally correct to state that maturity knowing God exudes knowing peace. In other words, your knowledge of this gospel will bring peace, but it has to be properly divided. And if you operate on peace that passes knowledge, if you operate on it, on the what? The vehicle of what? Of the right information, then you can have peace. I remember something years ago. It's all about what? Having the right information. I remember years ago, I remember about in the 80s, they had this this fight, Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy and Hitman Hearns from Detroit. And what I did, I was able to witness and see that fight. And here's, it's interesting. You're talking about somebody during the first few rounds, man, Tommy, he was killing Sugar Ray. Knocking him, killing him. Boy, Sugar Ray's not going to make it. I mean, he was knocking him. I said, oh, man, this, you know, it was like, wow, you know, Sugar Ray was getting killed. But then, in the 14th round, Sugar Ray just got strength out of nowhere, and he beat Tommy the Hitman Hearns. But it's interesting. In that whole fight, I was a nervous wreck. Nervous wreck. Because I didn't know what was going to happen on a round-by-round basis. But it's interesting. A few years later, they had the same fight recorded. And I was able to relax. It's the same fight. Drinking my iced tea. The same fight. I was so relaxed, Pastor. Now somebody said, wait a minute, it's the same fight. But what's the difference? The difference was, in the first one time, I didn't know what was going on. The second, I already knew I had knowledge. And that knowledge brought information. That knowledge about what? Peace. Because in fact, I think in the fourth round, Hitman tore Sugar Ray up. And I said, I was laughing. I said, well, Sugar, I said, Tommy, it's just a matter of time. You're going down. In other words, what happened? I had information. When you stay in your contract, when you abide in what? In justification, adoption, reconciliation, the fact that no matter what comes down in the time, no matter what happens in time, you are secure in eternity. It can bring peace in every situation. And that was a cruel example, you know, but just to kind of give you some things, something about it in terms of having knowledge. And your knowledge of your contract is directly proportional to the measured teaching of the Holy Spirit and you dividing these messages. In conclusion, let law be law, let kingdom be kingdom, let grace be grace. And abide in your contract, the mystery, because this is the liberating gospel. It will liberate you from confusion, from frustration. Stay in your gospel. It is the gospel for this dispensation. And the reason that this gospel should be preached in this present evil age, because in spite of what happens in time, you have security in eternity to know that you are abiding in your gospel, the gospel of this dispensation, the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.